Repent. That's quite a way to start your ministry, isn't it? It's quite a word to start your kind of come onto the public stage. And I wonder what we have the words, but we don't know quite how John said them. I wonder if he said it in an angry way, in a kind of, you've got to do this, or whether he said it in a tone of voice that was pleading, that was encouraging people to really think about their life and what it means to repent. I wonder what you think of when you hear that word. I think I quite associate it with angry people. Roger, if you put the first slide up, please. I don't know if you've ever met anybody like this. This is like a 21st century version. You get the bomber jacket as well as the placard with those people. I remember as a student when I was in London, on Oxford Street, there was often a reasonably elderly chap walking around. with not quite that sign, but kind of a long list of things that you needed to do to repent. And I think I get confused about the word repent. On Wednesday, I had quite a long day. I got home, back home at about 2:30, and I made a cup of tea, and then I went to put the mug in the dishwasher. And as I pulled the dishwasher open, somebody had loaded it completely wrong. The bowls were in the wrong place. We've got a top drawer for the cutlery, and it was all jumbled up, whereas I like to have all the knives in the line. Spoons the other side. So as I was rearranging the dirty dishes in the dishwasher, I just felt really strongly that whoever had loaded it wrongly needed to repent of their dishwashing. But sadly, I think then I was convicted because I went and sat down and started thinking and writing this sermon and realised that actually that idea of repentance, the idea of that repentance, that isn't really what Matthew is talking about, what John is saying in this story. So put aside, we can get rid of that chap. Don't think of him, don't think of dirty dishwashers. But let's think about two things, about repentance in this part of Matthew's gospel. And I want to do two things. I want to look at who John is, and then what does he mean when he says repent, what does he mean? Well, unlike the other gospel, so particularly Luke's gospel has an introduction to John, the son of Elizabeth, Jesus' cousin. But Matthew tells us gives us a little picture that's different. Matthew tells us that he wants us to know that John is like an Old Testament prophet. He's like an Old Testament prophet. That's what the picture that we have at the start of this part of the gospel is, to remind us of the Old Testament prophets. How do we know that? Well, first of all, his clothes, his appearance. If you read the Old Testament prophets, you'll know that they did some strange things. Maybe we'll get to look at those sometime next year. But they did things slightly odd, mostly to get people's attention. And here we read that John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. So when you think of a strange appearance like that, then you're meant to think of the Old Testament prophets. He had a strange diet. He didn't eat what normal people ate. His food was locusts and wild honey. Anybody having that for their Sunday lunch? And the third thing, so his appearance, his diet, points back to Old Testament times. And the third thing Matthew wants us to know is that this man, this strange man with strange clothes, strange words even, that he was sent by God. That Matthew quotes Isaiah, he echoes Isaiah as a reminder of God's prophets in the Old Testament. And he says that this, what was said by Isaiah all those years ago, is coming true here and now, as this man appears in the desert with his message of repentance. He is the one who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. And so when John the Baptist, well, I don't think actually we should call him John the Baptist, because he didn't go to Emmanuel down the road. He should be known as John the Baptizer. I had one of my tutors at college was very particular to say that when we talk of John, we talk about John the Baptizer, not the Baptist. But whatever, John makes this appearance, and everything that he's described up to now, he wants his readers to know that he is like the Old Testament prophets. And that's important because John the Baptizer is not somebody new. He's not a new arrival on the scene with a new message. But actually, he is the last of a type of person that God has used through history, the Old Testament prophet. John is the last of those, and he's linking the Old Testament message of God to the person of Christ, whose ministry we're about to see start. And John does have some strange things to say, doesn't he? He talks about repentance, he talks about baptism, he talks about the coming wrath. And he uses these words, I don't know if you pick them up towards the end of the reading. It says that he will gather, it's talking about Jesus, will gather his wheat into the barn. And he talks about burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And those, I think, are quite hard words for us to read. Maybe we might choose to skip over those. Well, we're not going to. You probably know me by well. Let's do the difficult stuff. We'll come to that. But all I want you to think about as I'm talking is, are you the wheat or are you the chaff? I think that is the big question for us today. How do you know which you are? Well, what I think John is referring to is the fact that when Jesus returns, some people will be saved, others will be not. And so the question that I really want you to think about is, imagine that you are standing at the gate of heaven, and what question, and when you are asked, why should you come in, what would your answer be? Because I think that will give us an idea as to whether one is wheat or chaff. We'll come back to that at the end. What would you say to Jesus if he was waiting at the gate for heaven for you? So what is John saying to us? Well, he comes with a message, but is it a new message? Matthew quotes these verses from Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight the paths for him. And that isn't, as we've been looking at on Wednesday, we were looking at the Old Testament, and this isn't a direct quote from Isaiah 40, it's a paraphrase. The actual words are this, what voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And when those words, when Matthew talks about Isaiah, when he paraphrases them, what he wants us to do is to think back to that particular chapter of Isaiah. The people that would have heard this story or read it originally would have been Jewish people, well versed in what Isaiah had to say. And that voice of calling in the wilderness is a prelude. It's the start of something, and that's the something that it leads into. Is a whole chapter, or several chapters in Isaiah, of God's promises that he will restore his people. And those people that he promises in Isaiah to restore are the very people that are being called here to repent. Because in this story of John the Baptizer, we see that the people that are being called to repentance is the nation of Israel. The people who flocked to see John, who went out into the desert, are the Jewish people. Matthew tells us that people went out to him from Jerusalem and from all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. So that this call to repentance here is by Matthew, that John is saying, is for the people of Israel. And it was particularly the elite of Israel, the Jewish leaders, that particularly got John wrong. The very people who should have been close to God and leading their people in his ways are told by him this. So these people, the Jewish elite, are the Pharisees, the Sadducees. And Matthew tells us, but when John saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. And so John is asking individuals to repent. And the ones that did repent were the ones who were baptized by him in the Jordan. But I think that we also need to read this as he is asking or pleading for a nation to repent. The nation of Israel are given a warning that their status, their special status, is no longer guaranteed. And so perhaps this is a new part of the message. John tells them this. He says, I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe has been laid to the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. And so although we can see John the Baptizer as an old school prophet, in the sense that he's bringing a familiar message of the need for individual and corporate returning to God, he's also announcing a new way that God is going to bring about that change, about that repentance. He says this, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And then this warning that we're thinking about, his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And so in some ways God's plan is different. It's no longer his people separate for him as a nation, the people of Israel. But he says the future is a people, a body of people who are baptized into life with Jesus. Jesus, the shoot of Jesse that we heard about in the first Isaiah reading this morning. And people who are different because they will be filled with the Holy Spirit. So an old school prophet does bring a familiar message, but it's a message for the whole world. Come to Jesus, give your life to him, follow him, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So what do we need to think about when we hear those words of John, that message of repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near? Well, I think the message is that the old way of living, whether it was for Israel then or for us now, the old way of living where we live for ourselves is not God's way. There is a better way, the way of Jesus. And Roger, if you could put the second picture up. So when we think about repentance, it means to turn around. This is like obviously a U-turn sign, probably from America or Australia, because they like yellow there. And that's really what repentance means, is to stop the direction that you are going and to turn around and follow a new way. But I think we also need to think not just about changing our behaviour, but also repentance involves a change of heart. It doesn't mean just staying on the old road and going in a different direction, but actually getting onto a new road, following God's ways, following Jesus, orientating ourselves towards God and not following life for our own selfish desires. And that is an important message. John the Baptizer did come with an important message, because without repentance, without us recognizing that we are going the wrong way, we will be separated from God. And so we all need to repent. Just like Israel that was doing its own thing, we do our own thing and we do not do God's thing. And in this season of Advent, I know it's partly about preparing for Christmas, but much more importantly, it's also preparing for Jesus's return. And it's really important for us in this time to know that the things that Jesus said will happen. And that includes that warning that we started to think about, that he will gather his wheat into his barn and burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And so which do you want to be? do you want to be the wheat or the chaff? The wheat is God's family, people who have repented and have said to Jesus, I want to follow you in faith and in love. And if you have in your life turned to Jesus, then you can be assured that you are the wheat. But perhaps you've never consciously thought about that in your life. And the message of hope, the message of repentance is turn to Jesus, the one who died on the cross so that we might live in God. And if you've never thought about that, then fortunately this book tells us what to do. In Romans 10, we'll come to that in more detail, but in Romans 10, Paul says this. He says, the word is near to you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. And he goes on to say this. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be wheat. He goes on to say, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. And so that question I asked you when we started thinking about whether one is wheat or chaff is, what would you say if Jesus was at the gate to heaven and asked you, why should I let you in? Well, if your answer to that question is something like, because I've been a good person all my life, that I've never done any harm, then I'm afraid that you need to listen to John. You need to repent, because the only way to heaven is because of a free gift of those who turn to Jesus Christ, who accept his gift freely. And so perhaps you've never done that, but now I want to give you the opportunity. So as I come to a close, we're going to pray. And if you've never really, truly repented and said to Jesus, I want to follow you, I don't want to live life my own way, I want to follow you, then repeat these words after me. And I'm going to say three things. Sorry, thank you, please. And that sorry is to say sorry for living life my own way, recognizing the need for repentance. Thank you is saying thank you that God sacrificed, that Jesus died for you on the cross to put you right with him. And then please come into my life by your Holy Spirit that John talks about, and live with me forever, to have that assurance that you will be wheat at the end of time. So let us pray. And if you just repeat this in your heart if you want to. Lord Jesus Christ, I am sorry for the things I have done wrong. Please forgive me. I now turn from everything which I know is wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross for me so that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Spirit. I now receive that gift. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.